Well, thanks for tuning in. This is Matt Santos of the Mile High Show. You're listening to episode number 91 as we creep up closer to our centennial episode. Episode 100 is a few weeks off. Not sure what we have planned for that. We talk a little bit about that in today's episode as to what we want to plan for number 100, and well, hopefully that'll be a fun time if we can hammer out some of the details. But today is episode 91, and I sat down with Les Lyman and Sky Conwell over at the, what did I get? I always get this name wrong, Park Plaza Liquor and Deli in Prescott over on Goodwin Street. Check them out, parkplazaliquor.com. A huge selection of beverages of all kinds, and of course their deli is home to some fabulous pizza and other things. We ordered a pizza, which was fantastic, but we also ordered, and I'm not even going to try and pronounce it, it's some kind of bread which is spread out like a, basically it was another pizza, but it's focaccia, I think is how you, however it's pronounced, I always mispronounce it and then come very close to having to bleep out what I say because it sounds filthy, tastes great. Park Plaza Liquor and Deli, not a sponsor. We hope to get them aboard soon. I've talked to some of the management over there, and we might, but sponsor or not, incredibly delicious food and beverage over there. So we enjoyed a day in the sun on yesterday, the Memorial Day holiday, and we sat out in the patio, my family and myself, along with Sky and Les, plugged in the mics and had a fun conversation. Again, Park Plaza Liquor and Deli, check them out on their Facebook page or parkplazaliquor.com for their website. They also, I think they have a Twitter feed, Instagram feed, I forget. But check them out and stop in. Again, not a sponsor, but great pizza. Today's sponsor is, and we talk extensively about Eric over at Big Daddy E's Smoke and Barbecue. Big Daddy E himself, Mr. Eric Vanier, is a new sponsor for the show. He's helped us out in the past, but now he is officially aboard as a sponsor. So check out Big Daddy E's. ES.com, BigDaddyEs.com. There's a link right there at MileHighShow.com to take you to Big Daddy's website. They also have a Facebook page, so check them out. He's open for lunch and early dinner Tuesday through Friday. And then late on Friday, I believe he closes at either 6:30 or 7. And every Friday through the summer, there is live music, and Sky Conwell is booking that, performing, as is Les, as, and Sky in today's episode goes through some dates. So check out BigDaddyEs.com. Check out Sky Conwell on Facebook for the postings of who's playing out there in the patio at Big Daddy's each and every Friday through the summer. And some of the best barbecue you will ever, ever taste. And a great staff over there at Big Daddy's. So stop in and eat. Stick something in your face at Big Daddy E's Barbecue. Excellent food, so and great folks. So we will also be recording out there periodically, out in the patio while we listen to some music and talk to some musicians and talk to some folks out there. We will be stopping out at Big Daddy's periodically with the microphone. So come by, say hi to us, me, Sky, Les, whoever's out there recording at Big Daddy's. We sat, it was kind of an informal conversation. I hope you enjoy it. We talk about a lot of things, including venues, little-known venues, little-known musicians and artists around our town. And we get Sky and Les's take on where this podcast is going. Like I said, we're creeping up on the 100th episode. So we want to hear from you. We want to hear from you, the listeners, as to what you want to hear on the show, where you want to see us recording, suggestions, comments, criticisms. We don't care. Let us know what you think. You can send that info through email at info@milehighshow.com, or just stop by milehighshow.com's website and the Contact Us page will have a form you can fill out and tell us what you think of the show, who you would like to hear on it, and of course, if you would like to be a guest or you have a cause, event, or group, or a performance you would like to promote, let me know. Send us that email, and don't forget to like and follow our Facebook page as well. Get those numbers up. One of the things that really helps us out in the rankings and in visibility is to go also, there's a link at milehighshow.com to get to our iTunes page. And please take a minute, leave us a rating. There's a star system, you know, 1 star, 2 star, 3 star on up. Rate us whatever you want, but also please take a minute to write a review. The stars alone don't boost us in the visibility, but the ratings, the reviews do. Type out a sentence or two. Let us know, good, bad, indifferent. Just leave us some kind of a review. That will help our visibility. Plus, it'll let us know as hosts, myself, Sky, and Les, to know what you want to hear, who you want to hear from. So leave us. It doesn't have to be a good review. If you don't think we're doing our job, let us know. It will. Your feedback is what will make this show better. As of last week, if you listen to episode 90 with myself and Matt Hinshaw, that is a new feature as well. Matt wasn't able to join us yesterday. We wanted him to, but he couldn't make it. We are doing a photo and photography and art-based podcast recurring feature that will be popping up once a month or so here at the Mile High Show with myself and Matt and some guest photographers to talk about our jobs, our road trips, our horror stories, our good jobs, just swapping some stories and also giving you, the listener, some tips. So if you have a question that you would like answered in the photo world, technology or technique, again, info@milehighshow.com is where you can send that and put photo in the subject line. You can also use the contact us page at milehighshow.com. And please, if you go back and listen to the archives that are listed online, leave us a comment or two to an episode that you enjoyed or hated, or a guest that you would never like to hear from again, or that you may want to hear from again. Each and every episode has a spot where you can leave a comment. Now, one of the reasons I bring that up is we are reaching the far-flung corners of the earth. I have a couple of listeners on the East Coast, a couple in Europe that are regular emailers to me. So thank you, folks, for that. Greg, I think he's in Pennsylvania, is an avid listener. So thank you very much. This past week, 2 weeks ago, I got a comment on an older episode from a couple of months ago from somebody who I have not talked to in person in, I want to say, 21, 22 years. A old friend of the family. He's not old. I mean, the friendship is old. When I was in, I want to say, junior high, or maybe late elementary, early junior high, this young man moved into our neighborhood from the Sacramento area into the East Bay and quickly became a fixture, an everyday fixture in our home, a friend of the family. He was a little bit older. He was in his early 20s, I don't remember. But he had moved down from Sacramento to the East Bay for work, and basically lived in our home for several years. A very good friend, Mr. Rick Esslinger. Well, him and his wife are now living in Grenada, or either Grenada or the Dominican Republic, I'm not sure. And I got a message from Rick after he listened to one of the episodes. And again, very dear friend, but I have not spoken to him. He did move overseas years and years ago, and the last time I saw him, I want to say, was either just before or right after, within a few months of me getting married or a few months after I got married. I can't remember, but that was 21 years ago. My wife and I just celebrated 21 years, so it's been that long or more since I have seen Mr. Rick. we talk about sometimes with the musicians that we interview and some of the comics that we've interviewed about that guy. And there's several that guys in my life. When you run across somebody who turns you on to something that you had never seen before, whether that be music or literature or comedy or something, they always got those deep cuts. Well, Rick was the first guy who ever introduced me to some of that late 70s and early 80s music that was a departure, kind of some punk new wave type stuff. And Rick was, I remember the very first time I heard Gary Numan's Cars was in Rick's Camaro cassette deck. He turned me on to some old Kinks music. He had a very diverse musical taste, and he educated as a late teen, early 20s, he educated the junior high school age Matt. So he was that guy that turned me on to some very, very interesting music way back when, as music was transitioning from what's now known as classic rock into disco, into new wave and punk. Rick was on the cutting edge of some of that music coming out of England and the East Coast. So it was good to hear from Rick on that baseball podcast we posted a couple of months ago. So I hope Rick is doing well, and I hope to see him and his wife, Alex, at some point in the near future when they travel back to the continent, as the rich folks say. So anywho, leave us a comment, leave us a review. Visit milehighshow.com for links to our YouTube page and all our social media. And, of course, please visit our sponsor, Big Daddy E's Smoke and Barbecue in Chino Valley on Butterfield, Palomino. I don't know. He's behind the Chase Bank. Big Daddy E's Smoke and Barbecue is the sponsor of today's show. As well as Amazon. Use that Amazon link at milehighshow.com. Log in like you normally do to your Amazon or Amazon Prime account, but it lets Amazon know you got there through us. And we get a little taste of a little bit to help us keep going, and we appreciate it. So it doesn't cost you anything extra, but use that Amazon link at milehighshow.com to do your online shopping as a way to show support for the show. So sit back, enjoy myself, Sky Conwell, and Les Lyman from Park Plaza Liquor and Deli, as brought to you by Big Daddy E's Barbecue. So, Sky, what do you got coming up?
Well, on Wednesday, I'm playing over at the Chaparral in Cottonwood, solo from, I think, 3 to 6. And Friday night, I'm playing the Hacienda Golf Course, place called the Capital Canyon Club, for dinner music.
Does Jake still work there? Wasn't he working there for a while, bartending? Or no?
No, I don't think so. He was working at the Talking Stick or Talking Rock. Okay. I get it mixed up. And then on Friday and Saturday and Sunday, I'm playing down at Rock and Ronnie's down in Mesa, Arizona. Saturday with my full band, and Sunday afternoon just solo.
What's that place like? What is it, a bar or a restaurant?
It's a restaurant. It's a restaurant and bar, but it's 1950s themed. It's perfect.
Oh, cool.
It's way cool. Yeah, it's got pictures of Elvis on the wall. You got the stools from the, you know, like the ice cream parlors back in the 50s, and the checkerboard, dance floor, and
nice.
And tiles. Yeah.
What's your cave? Did you just get done with the Cave Creek, or you got one coming up?
On Saturday, yeah. We just played a place called Local Johnny's in Cave Creek, Arizona. It was a lot of fun. It was a big old rockabilly dance party.
Nice.
Yeah.
Who else played on there? Or were you part of like a larger ensemble? Or?
No, I was just kind of the hosting of the party.
It
was
nice.
It was just our band. We played for a few hours. And there's some, you know, some pinup models and some hot rods. It's pretty
cool.
Fun. Yeah.
Nice, nice. What do you got coming up, Les? Or is that debatable?
Well,
are we still in flux?
No, I got I have actually, like, for the most part, I have something going on every. I got something going on for June anyway.
Get that in a little closer.
Okay, well, for June.
Twist it so you talk. There you go.
Let's do that.
Yeah, I'm at El Charro Norte.
For a sound guy, he doesn't really know how to use a mic, man.
Well, dude, I can't hear. Like, if you just give people cans, you know, I like, could hear what I was doing.
We'd need a plug, though.
That's not my fault. Anyway.
You got the table. You should have got one near a plug. You didn't get the memo?
Mongo only pawn in Game of Life. Yeah. Anyway, I'm at El Charro Norte on the 4th of June in the evening from 6.
That was fun out there the other day.
Yeah, it's a nice picture, man, you got, incidentally. And then, it's nice to see, just another music venue opening up someplace. You know, I like that. And Chino's growing nicely, I think. Because, and I can tell because I have another gig in Chino Valley at Big Daddy E's Barbecue, you know, for that for my regular second Friday of the month thing. And then I have, for sure, the 24th and 25th at Cork and Cuisine again in June in Prescott Valley. And I have a thing that's kind of up in the air in Prescott, you know, for now. I gotta see what's going on, you know. And if not, then, like, you know, who knows what I may do. You know.
Another night to drop in somewhere else.
I can follow Sky around and, like, you know, and make faces at him from the crowd.
Nice. How long have you been booking that one at Big Daddy's, Sky? Big Daddy E's Barbecue on Palomino.
It was in
Big
February.
Daddy E's, what's the website?
It's on Butterfield, dude.
Butterfield?
Yeah.
I get there on Palomino. It's
just behind the Chase Bank, right off the highway.
That's right.
Of website.
In Chino Valley.
Yeah. Well, you can find them on Facebook at Big Daddy E's Barbecue.
It's a sponsor show.
Yep, back in February.
I should have it. Wait, hold on. Let's do a commercial for them. Yeah.
Commercial.
First off, Sky, just while I'm looking it up, start talking about how you started it and how long you've been doing it.
Yeah, I was about to
who
tell you that.
Been out there?
You got it. Last year, he had music on Friday nights, kind of off and on. Some nights there would be music, sometimes there wouldn't, you know, and it was no big deal. And he was like, you know, it was like getting me when I was available. And I think he had last one night, one time. But people didn't know if there would be music on Friday nights or not. So when right about February this year, I approached him and I asked him, you know, it's like, I think it would work better if you consistently had music every single Friday. And so people would just know that there's music there on Friday. They wouldn't have to guess. And so he let me just kind of, I said, I'll take care of it all for you. And so I'm there once a month. Les is there once a month. We have Paul T. Morris is there once a month.
Paul T.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, he's fun, huh?
Yeah, he is, man.
A lot of fun.
Yeah, he is.
What an entertainer he is. I got some other.
That's a good word for it.
Let's see. Jace Peebler is playing there sometimes. I got PK Gregory. Woohoo. He's
great. When's he going to be at? Is he going to be out this month?
No, next month.
Next month. Cool.
No, September, I think.
I know very soon PK is going on tour, so I'm like, I'm trying to get my PK fix before he leaves, you know.
I'll have to look at the calendar.
First time I met PK was at Cork and Cuisine, had a nice conversation with him. It's on the archives there. Mm. But anyway, BigDaddyEase.com is what he is. Hold on, let me pull that. I really should prepare these ads better since he's paying us and all.
Justin Hickson.
BigDaddyEase.com, listing of his menu, his hours. He's open basically Tuesday through Friday. Lunch and dinner closing at 5, except on Fridays when music is there. He's
music, music and prime rib.
Great
music
food.
And prime rib.
All right, Sky. excuse me, Les. You're kind of a aficionado of barbecue.
Mm.
Explain what knock Eric, the owner of Big Daddy's. Just ignore that for a minute.
Okay.
What constitutes good barbecue?
Wow.
No, when somebody says barbecue, what's the first thing that pops to your mind?
Well, look, for me, it's all about, you know, slow cooking. You know, it's like low and slow. You know, and I really like, you know, like for me, like the way you can tell a place is good is you go try their brisket. You know,
yeah.
And you know. I like eating at Eric's place. I mean, you get the first thing I had there was the brisket sandwich, and you know you're up and I'm you know you get these things and sometimes you'll get them and brisket is it's a dry, you know, it's a low fat piece of meat, you know, if it's not done correctly you'll go ahead and bite in that sandwich and kind of have to gnaw some off. man, it was like, it just, I just went bite, and I was like, yeah. Yeah. So that's really what I start there, and I also like, I'm from the Southeast, so I like hickory. You know, you get a lot of mesquite out here, but I'm a hickory guy, and you know, Eric uses that stuff.
Yeah.
Not all, but you know, some.
One,
yeah.
One of the things that to me really tells on barbecue is, you know, you get people arguing over, you know, South, Southwest, mm. Midwest, you know, Chicago or St.
Yeah.
Louis,
yeah, yeah.
Or Nashville, Memphis, yeah. Whatever, Texas. They always talk about sauce. And for me, I really, the way I tell good barbecue is trying the meat without the sauce.
Yeah, yeah,
right. Can,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
One of the things Eric
exactly.
does. Over
sauce
the, yeah,
on the side.
On the side.
Sauce on the
which
side.
Is, you know, and when I cook, when I do barbecue, I do some of each, depending on what kind of mood I'm in or what I'm doing. Sometimes I'll braise it. But overall, especially at restaurants,
yeah.
If it's caked on, if the sauce is the overpowering, to me, that's kind of, I don't like that. It's not, to me, that's not good, true barbecue.
Well, it's also you know, if there's an excess of the dry rub, because that's almost exactly the same
yeah,
thing,
yeah.
You know? I mean,
I want to taste and feel yeah. how that meat's prepared. Now, one of the things, like you said, with brisket, you want it nice and tender. Sometimes it can be a little tough if it's
yeah.
not done right.
Right.
But one of the things that a lot of places, and again, this is just me talking, but a lot of places will tout their, you know, that it falls off the bone, you know, especially ribs and stuff. That's not always the best thing. Sometimes on ribs, I like that texture. It can't be too much like soup meat. And that's sometimes
well, you know, barbecue is like love and literature. You know, you can't really explain why you like what you like. You just do. And you know, everywhere you go, there's good barbecue. You know, and people, yeah. I get really. I really try not to say the best, you know, because you know, my best may not be your best,
yeah.
you know,
and depend on
where you're at
weather,
too. Yeah,
sometimes.
Yeah, depend. Well, like Texas barbecue or Southwest barbecue, it's almost all beef, you know. Like yeah. where I come from, it's pig, you know, and like and then there's a place in Kentucky where they do mutton and it's really good. I think that it's almost universally yummy, you know, and. I think that Alton Brown said something like when he was he did a piece and I think I was reading it in this magazine where he was talking about barbecue, and the thing most people really like about their barbecue is that my dad went there and his dad went
yeah.
there and I'm going there
yeah.
and that's what it is for them. It's and I think there's something of value in that there's this tradition there. And you like that place because it, you know, you like it because this is your home place to eat barbecue. You know,
this
almost
is what,
more of a memory than yeah. than the experience
yeah.
and an experience more than the food.
Right. Here's what I do when I go to Big Daddy E's barbecue, whether I get the chicken or the pulled pork or the brisket or the tri tip, I look for those black pieces because it's got the most
burn-ins.
Flavor.
Yeah,
yeah, the smoked flavor, and then I have to confess, I do use their sauce. So they've got like five different choices of sauce.
Great, because I mix
but,
and match.
I pick those blackened pieces without the sauce. I go for that first, and I only put the sauce on those parts that I don't have the
well,
real strong
you know,
smoked
and,
flavor.
And the burnt ends are just that is one of those things where like you know that it. That people don't get it. Like last time I was there, I got the ends. Remember?
That's when I was.
I got the ends. And I was like
prime rib
like,
end.
The prime rib
yeah.
end, and he's like, kind of. He's like, all we got left are the ends. I was like, well, what's
perfect.
Wrong with that? You
perfect.
Know,
perfect. That's what
and,
I would request.
Oh yeah, that was so. And like, you know, that was yummy.
And where else are you gonna get a smoked prime rib? A prime rib on the smoker.
Not
everybody
here.
Does
that's
that.
Another,
no?
Around here.
Another yeah. indicator of good barbecue. There was a couple places in the East Bay where I grew up in California. Everett and Jones was one. Carmen's on A Street was another one, and then what was that? Flint's in Oakland, down, which was open to like 4 o'clock in the morning. So people would leave the clubs and then congregate at Flint's, and that place was not in a neighborhood you want to go to. But Flint's little parking lot was kind of a safe zone. If you knew and went to Flint's, you were all right. and we would go in there, and I would take buddies of mine, 2 a.m. and they'd be, what are we doing here? Why are... And then they'd eat it and go, okay, we're coming back. Yeah. And one of the indicators,
as long, like, getting there and leaving, you were like, you had to be careful. But like when you were there, you're all right. That's how Buddy Guy's Club was in Chicago.
Legends.
There was a barbecue. Yeah. There's no barbecue there. But in the beginning, it really was kind of in the hood, man. Yeah. You know. And so if you were there, you were cruel, but like you kind of had to get there and leave safe.
Which
you
was know? Awesome.
You've been to Legends?
Because I usually hung out with really upstanding individuals, huh?
And you laugh.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, just for the record, like her eyes rolled in her head so hard that it actually snapped Matt's head back.
We're planning a trip back to California.
That's great.
Pretty soon, and we were scouting out what we were going to do. And I was thinking, well, okay, what do we want to do? What do we want to plan on doing? And there's very few places that I used to go to that are still around, let alone somewhere where we'd want to take a six-year-old. Mm. So we're doing a day at the beach and a day
I like
at the
that
pier.
Idea. Mm. I like that idea.
I saw Mavis.
Is that where, San Diego?
No, San Francisco.
Oh, San Francisco.
Area,
yeah. Oh,
Oakland. Well, San Francisco.
Oh, you guys are going to freeze to death at the beach, man.
No, Santa Cruz. Santa Cruz
okay,
is really
yeah.
nice. Half hour down. Yeah. You go a half hour up the highway and anywhere from, you know, well, the best time to go is October. It'll be 75 at 8 o'clock at night.
It's very
nice.
It's warmer. You know where the beach chalet is, like on the bay? Like right, it's like right on the edge of Golden Gate Park in San Francisco.
What's it called?
It's called the Beach Chalet.
I'm not familiar with it.
Well, it's right there, like in July. You will freeze to death.
Yeah.
It is warmer in October than it is like July
Indian
and August.
Summer in
it's
bay
crazy.
Beautiful.
It's crazy, man.
Yeah. I don't know. This is beautiful right here in Prescott right now. You picked a good day to do this.
Yeah. I was hungry.
Well, you know, we're like,
this is a great day. We're outdoors.
In the shade. In the shade.
Love it.
In the shade.
Yeah, I might get something else.
In the shade.
Are you in the rest of
I saw Mavis Staples over at the Legends in Chicago, Buddy Guy's Legends. This was about in the mid 90s. She kept hinting that maybe her dad's going to, you know, Pops is going to show up, but he never did.
What were you doing there?
My brother's wedding. He got married in Chicago. Yeah.
Nice. You spend much time there?
No, not much time at all.
No?
No, I wish I did because, it's just quite a scene there.
That's one place I have never been that I'd really like to go. A buddy of mine, he's a kid. I mean, he was probably 19 or 20, might have been 21 a few years ago. He was a neighbor kid of ours, friend of the family. And he'd been working some odd jobs and, you know, helping. His dad's a contractor, so he worked with his dad for a while, worked with his brother in roofing, and just kind of floating around after he graduated high school. And he decided to save his money. He saved up his money, got a laptop computer. This is several years ago. Saved up, bought a used laptop, packed a duffel bag, got dropped off by his brother, I think, in Flagstaff, jumped on a train and went to Chicago.
Yeah.
Okay.
Got out of the train station and went to look for an apartment. Ended up in an SRO somewhere downtown, spent about 5 months just hanging around, and then came back, and that was what he wanted to do. And I was so envious of the guy. It sounded like a lot of fun.
Yeah,
and
sure.
And he enjoyed it.
It was an adventure. It was an adventure,
Awesome.
Yeah. But no, it's, you know, but that's how it is, you know, like that's how it is. You hear about those things, you know, or something, but he isn't telling you about all the bad stuff that happened.
When you're young, I did some of that stuff way back when, and when you're young, that's part of the experience is seeing the underbelly, so to speak.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, sure.
So I lived for a very short period of time in the Tenderloin, San Francisco, and, it was. It was. Some of it was nasty. Some of it was a little scary. But overall,
it makes an adventure.
A good experience to go through. I enjoyed it.
It makes it for an adventure. And then when you tell it later,
I would never let him do it.
The thing is that your dad wouldn't let you do that either. I think that's what happens is you have this that period of your life where you're almost bulletproof. You know, for the most part.
No, and I've got the scar to show it.
Well, I mean, but I said almost. But almost. You're almost bulletproof. You go out and you do these things, you know, and, like, you think about them later, and you're like, my God, how did I get away with that?
The good part is that not all of those are embedded in my memory bank. There are some areas that are
a little bit foggy.
See photographs occasionally. Somebody will put them up on Facebook or something, or email them to me. I go, I have no recollection of that whatsoever.
Yeah, I don't know what that's like at all. I have nothing else. Except I keep – see, that was my biggest thing about joining Facebook. It was like I know that there are pictures of me, you know, doing things out there somewhere that I just keep waiting for them to pop up so I can explain – like then I can explain myself to my wife when
the
they show up.
The good thing is most of my
from
life –
From back in the day, honey.
Most of my life I spent behind the camera. So there's not a whole lot. There are actually about a decade where there's not a single photograph of it at all.
See, my life is boring. I don't even have any pictures. I don't have to worry about that. My life has always been pretty boring.
Lots of pictures.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Some of them.
No, he's talking about pre-you, man.
They have not been published yet.
You know, just talking about pre-you. It's like you know, that's just kind of how it is, you know. It's like things change, and you tell – I think the most interesting thing to me at this point is I talk to, like, you know, some younger musicians and stuff. You start talking to them about these things that are like – you know, to you, they're not really that exciting, right? You know, not really that exciting. And, to them, they're like, wow, you were really living it. And I'm like, no. I know people that were, you know. I know people that were, you know, because they're like, I think the 70s was a mythical time, apparently, when dinosaurs roamed the earth, you know. But when you look at it, you know, yeah, the world's changed a lot between now and then. And there's a lot of stuff that you just could not get away with now.
Yeah.
Like, just as a for instance, like, well, when I was in high school, they treated, you know, like, you know, if you got busted, like, with a six-pack of beer or so in your car, right, you know, like, they would make you pour it out, and, like, if you were okay to drive, like, they would send you home, and your parents would know. You know, when you got there, they were waiting for you.
That's the worst punishment right there.
And, well, the thing is, now, but now some of this stuff, right, some of this stuff that you do, like, it's not a youthful folly. It's like, you know, that, like, you're going to jail.
Yeah.
You're going to jail. They're impounding your car. Like, your parents have legal bills. There's all this stuff. So the rest of it's kind of like that. It's gotten a little, you know, you can still go walk about, if you will, you know, but the consequences like of failure, you know, of making a bad decision or something like that are so much more, you know.
Yeah, they stick with you a lot longer.
Yeah, they sort of choose your path in life. You know, so when I'm careful to like say, look, you know, then you could get away with that. Now, not so much.
Nah, even the stuff you get away with, you really don't. You're paying for it decades later when you try and get up off the couch or get a home loan. You know, well, one of the things
get a home loan.
One of the reasons why I started doing this podcast, what, a year and a half ago, was because when I first moved out here a dozen or so years ago to the Prescott area, I really didn't have a whole concept of small town rural living, you know, growing up in a metro area in the suburbs. And as I started working with local media out here, I started running across people who just had some real fascinating stories. And they weren't, you know, they weren't necessarily the politicians or the guys that are, you know, playing the Elks or even traveling through, you know, the higher profile folks. You know, I was working with guys in radio and our local TV and stuff. And they're interviewing some of the higher profile citizens, but it's a guy you bump into it, you know, in line at the donut shop, and he turns and, you know, makes a comment or starts telling a story, and you find out, you know, he's retired as a director of photography for major movie studios, or this guy's got five novels under his belt, and he's just out here because it's a quiet place to write. Mm-hmm. And there's so many stories out here, and that's what I wanted to do, is to kind of reach out and talk to some of the folks that kind of fly under the radar. Some of them really like to, they won't sit down in front of a mic.
Yeah, sure.
But there's others that are like, yeah, nobody ever asked.
Yeah.
And they've got some fascinating stories to tell.
So what are some of those people that you interviewed?
That's
tell you what, there's been when I say, you know, the high profile folks, everybody knows Ted Leonard.
Yeah.
But I don't think very few people knew the Ted Leonard at under 20. before he came out here.
Yeah. Right, sure.
MileHighShow.com, check out the archives. He was like show 6, 7, 8, something like that.
Yeah.
Fascinating guy.
Yeah.
Opened for Aerosmith. And wow. And Cheap Trick. Yep. And got when he was like 16, goodness. 17 years
on
old.
The drums? The drummer?
Yeah, he was wow. his cousin Georgie.
My cousin George.
Yeah, cousin George started a band and needed a drummer, and they did he wrote a rock opera, and they toured that rock opera, and Ted was 16, 17
gosh,
years old.
I've known Ted for years. I didn't even know that.
Thank you for listening to the show you're part of.
Ted is an interesting cat, you know. But Ted's an interesting. But the interesting thing about I think about Prescott and Hot Springs, where my dad was like living, and other is that these places they used to be places that you were either stuck or from, and now they're destinations for people to retire,
getting away from
away from stuff, and you know and. And to get away from their job or just this is where I'm retiring. And I know for a while you would hear some of the best like jazz guys, you know, that I'd ever heard in my life. Swear to God, you know, like, and they're playing at 129.5 on Cortez.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, wow. And they're all retired from like from L.A.
Yeah.
You know who Scottish Brian is? Yes.
No.
Okay. Well, Brian Sinclair, who's like a bass legend in the Verde Valley.
Huh.
He's the kind of guy that he likes doing weather report covers. You know, he's that kind of guy. But you know, he retired out here from there. He made his money in a business, came out here to hide. You know.
Well, while we're on the topic, you're a fan of the 11th story elevators? No, 13th
floor elevators. Yes.
Yeah. Fred Mitchum now lives here in Arizona, and he's going to be playing over at Big Daddy E's. I mean, this is kind of a famous group. I understand.
Yeah. You know, I want to set that up. Did I send you that info, or was that just me and Sky talking?
Well, I was talking to Sky about. Some a venue.
Yeah,
and you're saying he's playing there. And Jim, I was like, dude, 13th floor elevators. Yeah, who's that?
I mentioned Fred Mitchum. I was like, Fred Mitchum of 13th floor elevators.
He's living down in Cave Creek area.
He's kind of famous. Yeah. He lives in Cave Creek. He's going to be coming up here.
He's not. He's like he was in the band, but he's not the
main guy.
What we were talking about, and I want to pursue this. You're probably the guy, Sky, to set it up.
Yeah.
Is see if we can go out maybe a week or two before he's playing at Big Daddy's and go down to Cave Creek, grab some lunch. Sit down with him and promote that show.
That'd be great.
I know nothing about that band, so you sent me the links.
Yeah, I want in on that.
Yeah, no, I think it would be fun. Yeah,
somebody who's like older than me, probably.
Yeah, I wouldn't go that far. We don't want to insult the guy, man.
Yeah, I listen to sound clips, and he's still making music, and it's still really good.
I need to check it out. I need to check it out, but I think that'd be a fun one to do.
Yeah,
because it would be an education for me, not knowing. Who this person or who that group is. I need to hit those links you sent me.
Yeah, he's going
to
be playing at the Big Daddy's next month.
July?
July, yep.
June or July?
July.
July, okay, good. We got time to do that then. We're coming up on, I forget where we're at, 92, 93, something like that. We're coming up on episode 100.
Nice.
And I want to do something for that. I wanted to do something on the annual. But we had a couple things lined up, a couple people lined up, and it just fell through. We couldn't lock it in. What do you guys want
to
do?
Wouldn't it be fun
for the 100?
We were Danny and I had the honor and the privilege to be the very first episode. I think it'd be kind of fun if you get Danny and me together because you know we don't see each other as much as we did.
That'd
be cool.
That would be great.
That'd be cool.
If I can get Danny Romero to return my phone calls,
that's good luck with that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
No, just kidding.
Yeah, he's very busy.
Me and him, we are as bad at returning stuff as each other. Whenever he's calling me, I'm either walking into or in the middle of a meeting.
Yeah.
And then by the time I'm out, he's like, oh, I can't. I'm on a job.
Yep.
But yeah, he keeps himself busy.
I'd like to do something. Maybe we should talk to Eric, see if we can.
That would be really
see if
cool.
we can
be
do it there.
Perfect,
because it wouldn't have to be that Friday. Because I know Danny's got the regular gig at the place. He's still doing the Palace.
Oh yeah, every Friday he plays.
Every Friday afternoon at the Palace.
Yeah.
Doing his solo gig.
Right.
Which is where we recorded that first episode was at the Palace.
Yep.
But maybe we can do like a midweek lunchtime over there
at Big Daddy E's because Eric Big Daddy E he is an old time cowboy and so is Danny. Danny was a rancher, a cow punching, and so I think Danny lives in Chino Valley. So does he. I think that would be perfect. And
I think Eric. Eric is still riding his horse. I think so.
Yeah, and you can tell when he does if you see him a couple of days later and he's walking a little odd.
Oh.
That's when he was either on the ski slopes or on his horse when he's moving kind of slow.
Yeah, he was loving it this last winter, man. He was like,
yeah, up at Flag constantly. Between riding, skiing, and scuba diving, that's his deal.
Well, what are your ideas for
that? No, I kind of like that.
Episode.
We were talking about that the other day. I'd like to, because we've been trying to tie Danny down to sit down anyway, and it just doesn't work between all three of us, all four of us. It's stuff to do.
I've been working with Danny for a while. I've been helping him with the electrician stuff. I can't believe what he can do.
Yeah.
He's got a prosthetic. It's been about 3 years, 3.5 years since he had the accident. I can't believe what he can do. I mean, I sometimes forget that he even has it.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, it'll fall off right in the middle of a job. It's on the ladder, and it'll just fall. His leg will just kind of move it. And I'm like, oh, my. How does he's an inspiration. He really is an inspiration.
That day we all went out to Phoenix last year.
Right, I remember.
Where were we at? We were Black Canyon, or had we hit Cordis yet? I don't remember. And he forgot his leg, so we had to turn around and go back.
We had to go back. Yeah, see, I wasn't. You were like so surprised.
You
I was
were
like,
asleep.
Yeah, I was asleep.
I was
almost
asleep.
Man, I would like just to be a fly on the wall for that one. Oh, dang,
no,
I forgot my leg.
You don't
leg.
Have to be. There's a video on the there's a video. There's a video on the Mile High Show YouTube channel.
This is how it happens, Les. Danny's like, Matt, we need to turn around. That's exactly what he said. Yeah, just turn, take the U-turn over here. And Matt's like, why? And Danny's like, well, I left my leg in the car. It's kind of important. We need to have that.
And it didn't matter to me that we were turning around. It was just the fact that he was harping the whole time that he was running late. Right. And then we get an hour down the road, and we had to flip it around and go back.
And but it's pretty incredible. You should interview Danny at this point because he's doing. There's nothing that he can't do. I mean, he does absolutely everything. He's got a documentary.
Is he able to ride again?
Yes, he rides horses.
Oh,
he, not like
awesome.
He used to. Not like he used to.
Yeah.
But he still gets on.
Well,
the
he
horse.
Was. That was his vocation. No, he was riding hard.
I remember him. I remember him like, gosh. Then it was a while back, maybe a prosthesis or so back or something. Mm-hmm. Where he was really, I mean, that was really one of the biggest things that he was having problems
adapting to.
Was like, you know, it was because he wanted to ride, you know, it's like a huge part of his life. Dude, I feel him. You know, I absolutely feel him. Yeah, absolutely feel him. So, like, if he's able to ride again, that's amazing.
We'll pencil that in and see and try and hound Danny down and sit down. Where do you got anything lined up, Sky? Because for a while we haven't done it in a number of weeks, but for a while we are pretty regular downtown on the square for your open mic, recording some singer songwriters just before your open mic. You any closer to locking in?
Things change. I'm not doing the Birdcage by open mic anymore. But we're looking at now Far From Folsom, which used to be Coyote Joe's a long time ago. Most people know it as Coyote Joe's.
Coyote
it was
Joe's,
Brick and Bones
Brick and
for
Bones.
A while. Yeah.
What were we going to call it? I said the other day.
I don't know.
Oh, I didn't send it to you. I mentioned it
I
to
don't
you
remember.
Though. It's going to be the Far From Coyote Bones Loft. Attic. No.
Annie's Attic.
Far,
yep.
Far. It was Coyote Joe's, Annie's Attic, Brick and Bones. Now it's Far From Folsom.
It was actually Prescott Cantina for about 2 weeks.
Yeah. So Far From Coyote Bones Cantina Attic. Is what,
well, you know.
Try and put that on a business card.
Well, that happens, you know.
Yeah, it happens, and that's what I'm looking at right now, and I'm about 95% sure that I'm going to have a steady gig over there at the Far From Folsom.
So hopefully we'll be able to.
Yeah, I can't exactly.
Well, if not there, we'll find somewhere where we can start doing that because I really enjoyed.
Me too.
And like I've sat and interviewed, you know, anywhere from small business owners, a couple of politicians, folks involved with the school district, obviously you guys, musicians, artists. Comedians, both local and national. Pretty much everybody I interview, I'm interviewing as a curious fan. I don't have, other than the mass comm, the journalism and photography, I don't have a deep root in any one subject. But for me, that kind of, you know, it helps me be a little more curious and keep the interviews going. But especially with musicians, like you were just talking about, 13th, what was the
34 elevators.
I don't know who that is.
Well, only one of the most important psychedelic bands of their era. You know, and also like I swear to you, just go home. Like when you get home,
yeah, I've got those links.
Pull up the Wikipedia article, you know, and just read about these guys, and you can probably find a documentary on the guy. On Rory, man, you could probably.
This is the thing. Especially interviewing musicians, there's whole subjects of technique. Obviously, I can ask about road stories and inspirations and things like that, and those are always interesting to me. But you guys can get into the writing process, the theory,
sure,
deeper influences and things, and that's right. Why
the bitterness.
That's why I really enjoyed listening to and helping you record those ones you were doing, Sky.
Yeah,
because
I enjoyed it too.
Where I would just scratch the surface, you were able to, in typically very short time frame, 15, 20 minutes, half hour.
Thank you.
To really get into some levels that I couldn't. And then the flip side, we get to hear him perform 3, 4, 5 songs. And it was a lot of fun.
It was a whole lot of fun.
So I'm hoping to do that again.
I'm going
to
keep this going. Yeah, no matter where it is, it doesn't matter. Eventually, we're going to get this thing going real soon.
Now, where does Les want to be? No, go ahead.
I've interviewed a whole lot of people that I didn't know, you know, and a lot of my friends I interviewed, a lot of people I didn't know for the first, I met for the first time, Matt Kinman. And that was my favorite interview ever.
That was a fun one.
I've learned a whole lot about songwriting, and I learned a whole lot about music.
Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Just talking to these people. Yeah, it's affordable. It's decent beer, and it's affordable.
So that's where we want to try and lock you into a little bit more, Sky, is finalizing and solidifying another venue, another opportunity to start doing those. Because I really like that format
where
we start with a couple of with an interview and then lead into some performance.
Me too. I loved it. Hang with me. Be patient. Real soon, we're going to get back into it.
It brings us to Leslie Earl Lyman.
What do you
want to do? Where are you? Other than being, what do you call it? What is it? You're a soldier for the scene.
I'm a soldier for the scene. Always have been.
So we can find you
since I've been here anyway.
We can find you pretty much anywhere there's musicians and music being played. But we've got a couple of things that we've talked about, and I know you're working on them. Give a little teaser of some of the things that we can see from you.
Well, what I'm working on currently, trying to, and that's almost there. It's almost there. One of the things you hear about all the time is the publishing rights organizations and small venues, and that has actually recently started popping its ugly head up again as we develop all these smaller places that are having people doing singles and duos and stuff. And all of a sudden, BMI, a representative of BMI or ASCAP or CSAC will show up, will phone call usually and go, "You owe us money." And the business owner is usually floored because they weren't really expecting this.
Well, they're paying the musician. What's this other entity?
Or they're paying for the jukebox, or they're paying for they're paying Pandora. And then all of a sudden, here comes this, they're trying to get more money out of them, And it's kind of, it's interesting, like, how all that stuff works. And it's also, I think the most interesting part to me is that people start having music and not really realizing that, these entities are out
all
there.
All the nuts and bolts.
Well, they're out there going, well, US money for, like, the radio and the jukebox and for your musician and... Yeah, if they're playing cover songs, right? And they will also, it can be a little daunting, a little scary.
And what we had talked about, and just trying to capsulize it into a short answer here is it's impossible.
It's almost impossible.
Multi-level.
Which
issue.
Is why it's right up my alley.
Well, no. So what we're hoping to see is a several part, almost like a Radio Lab, This American Life type series.
I really want to talk about what they are, where they came from. I want to talk to various club owners and local venue people about their views and how they were approached. I really want to talk to some musicians and try to get a round view of this because I've actually heard some, I know people that like have had problems with them and are very vocal about it, but I've also know at least one person who is, you know, who's like very happy with them, yeah, and is getting little extra checks in the mail because they have registered their songs, and you know, they're okay with the way things are because they're getting, they're making, like, I think the exact words were, "This is a good gig," I think.
like any other complex issue, you know, whether it be social issues, politics, business in this case, if you only talk with one side or if you just barely scratch the surface, it can't present the issue in a full picture.
I am kind of where this stuff is. I'm kind of like where you are. Almost everything, all the research I've done, and like, it just led to more research and more questions and why and how. And, you know, I mean, it's really kind of interesting to see how it works, what the, you know, what the case law is behind it, like, as far as I can understand it with my old brain. And, you know, the people that are that have problems with it, the people that don't have problems with it, who, you know, and just trying to follow the money, you know, which is difficult, you know, and there's a lot of it.
What I found in just my little bit of research since we've been talking, you know, pulling up different websites and articles and things, even the so-called experts aren't sure how it works.
It's almost like please, I'm not putting on a tinfoil hat, but it's almost kind of like how the IRS writes tax code. It really is sort of like there's no actual – what I will say like about this is there's no actual law. There's only case precedent like that – it's a single case back from the turn of the century with ASCAP, you know. And that's basically what they're, you know, basing all this stuff on. There's no legislation really. There's no – you know, this is all being done by this organization, which is sort of it's sort of acting as a de facto kind of – governmental bureaucracy to like regulate, you know. Well, they all are. There's like the three, all of them, and actually, there's a lot of them worldwide. You know, there's a lot of them worldwide, but they're all sort of like acting as de facto governmental departments, like regulating how this money gets distributed, and it's very complex, and it seems, you know, almost like they're obfuscating stuff from you, you know, and there is. I don't think I've met anybody yet that was neutral on the subject.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing more out of it and seeing how it develops.
I'm neutral on almost everything, and I'm not neutral on the subject.
It's like it's really in the musician community and the entertainment and, you know, the small – everybody, like, has very strong opinions on it, and it's almost always – yeah, but not a lot of information.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing how that develops. Where do you see us, and when I say us, primarily the three of us and more recently Matt Hinshaw, who I was hoping going to be here today, but he wasn't able to make it.
We miss you, Matt.
As the Mile High Show, the faces of the Mile High Show, where do you see us going through the next 14 months?
Well, I think that's an impossible question to answer.
Where would you like to see it go?
Okay, I think it takes us wherever it happens to go, but I'd certainly like to have more and more and more listeners, and I'd like to for all the listeners to just kind of learn everything about Prescott, everything about the community here, and the legal issues that Les is talking about.
Yeah. I want to try and branch out. Like, one of the reasons why I wanted to align myself with some other hosts is to free myself up. I want to start hitting Phoenix a little more regular. I'm down there every few months now. I would like to do it once a month. There's a lot of stuff up in Flag and the Verde, of course, that we haven't even touched on Flag. And Verde, very, very limited, two or three shows total. I want to start doing a little bit more of that.
That'd be great.
That's really what I would like. I think that Northern Arizona is like almost criminally underrepresented as far as like the entertainment community up here. We have, you know, people come here and they're just absolutely amazed at the amount of musicians artists and
talented musicians,
actors and, you know, sculptors and stuff that we have up here. And, they're everywhere. You know, they're just everywhere. Like people, and to me, I was if there is a style of music you like, someone's doing it up here, and they're doing it pretty good.
Yeah,
you know, and the biggest thing I think really that we have is just, like finding time to go see it all. You know, it's really difficult. And what I would like to see us do, as much like you, is I'd like to see us maybe not expand south so much, but like to go into the Verdean, to go into Flagstaff, and you know, try to get raise some awareness to like these great acts and great, you know, great people that are playing, so that people can maybe, you know, be interested in like, well, you know, I think I've seen this band 12 times in Prescott already this month. Well, you know what? Cottonwood's an hour away. Let's go over there. And, you know, or vice versa.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, I've been doing a little bit of that, like trying to encourage, I chewed on PK's elbow for like forever trying to get him to come over here because I knew people would love him.
Yeah, and people do love him. He did come over. People love him. He loves it over here.
Oh, yeah, he likes it.
Thank you for doing that.
You know, and well, the thing is that like, you know, the people, it really is, the funny thing about living here is you go 20 miles and you might as well be in a new state.
True.
As far as like, you have to reestablish who you are and what you do all over again. And it's a lot of work, and a lot of times we have, you know, we have a couple of bands over here. I would love for them to go to Cottonwood, but they don't see any use in going over there because they're working over here about as much as they want. They make more money, right? You know, there's the drive, and why go over there? And so that we can get some cross-pollinization here, so we can start, like, you know, you know what I mean? And because it's, that is always better for the scene. It's always better for the scene.
Yes.
And they do tend to get pretty homogenized. Like, this person is really big here, you know, and this person or this band is really big 20 miles this way, you know. And when you play music or you play music from these bands or you tell people about these bands and, you know, and they go over and see them, they're like, Mike, why don't they ever come over here? And it's almost... It's a combination of those two things, you know. Like, it's, I'm already working four nights a week here, and they're not, you know, it's money, you know.
Yeah.
The base number here to play like in the top tier venues in Prescott is, to my knowledge, it's about $100 and $150 less in the Verdi, you know. To my knowledge. There's that problem there, you know. There's one or two bands, Wes Williams band in particular, Wes Williams, you know, that like are, you know, they're down for going, you know. And my buddy Sky here, you know, he's like everywhere.
I played at Bootleggers last,
you know,
not yesterday.
He's like everywhere, you know. And like people are like, you know, they're happy about it, you know.
Yeah.
So I would like, that's what I would like to see, is like to go to these places, do some cross pollinization, meet some more people, you know, and like. And get it going that way. Like be useful to the artist community as much as possible, and also be a good source of information about what's cool to you know, people like these sitting around us. You know?
I'd like to say that just if there happens to be any Prescott musicians that are listening to this podcast and they're like, why would I go to Cottonwood? Well, because I've been doing it, and it's a whole other thing, and it's a whole lot of fun.
Oh yeah,
you got a whole new audience. They love you. It's new. It's fresh. It's less likely for me to get in a rut playing the same old songs, the same old people, and all of a sudden it's not that fun anymore. There's less likely of that happening if I'm playing over in Cottonwood,
fresh ears,
over in Clarkdale,
fresh dance feet.
Yeah. Plus, there's things going on. Like, there are different petri dishes going on. Like, we have if there's something that's lacking in Prescott now, that we used to have. Like, there's a lot of singer songwriter type open mics, you know, but there isn't, like, you know, we used to have, you know, like blues jams where you would go up, there'd be pretty, you know, pretty good people like there to play with you. There'd be a band, and you could go out and, like, you know, play your electric guitar. You play your electric guitar and meet other people and form bands and do things. And, you know, we have right now we have a once a month thing that Kevin Schnievel's doing, man, like the, you know, which is awesome. And we have a, like in Cottonwood, they have a once a week thing that they do that that my buddy Mike Morris does with his band, the Bottom Line Band, over there.
Where's the venue? Where's the main stage?
Main stage, yeah, main stage. That's One South Main. And
I have found DJ if you're looking for Kevin and he's not blowing his harmonica at Jersey Lilies or at JJ's, you can pretty much find him at Costco. Most days, the last four times I've seen. So
anybody
it
wants
at Costco.
To talk, anybody wants to talk to Kevin, just go there and hang out.
Go to Costco and hang out. That's where I've been seeing Kevin the last probably four times I've seen him. Have been at Costco.
No, but those
getting
things
a Polish
are really
dog
important.
For $1.50.
That's what I do. Yeah,
now, those things are really
just for the Polish dog.
Really, you don't like.
I don't
the,
shop.
You don't like,
just,
the, you
don't
like
even,
the chicken bake.
I don't
love the chicken.
I don't even have a Costco
bake.
Card.
I've decided that if I have one more of those, my blood type will be. Cheddar.
Okay. I'm good with that. I'm good with that. You know, like, you know, but yeah, but you know, that kind of thing. I think that like we should, I think I always viewed this thing as a force for good, you know, as a force for good in the community. And like, I'm hoping to keep doing that, not turn to the dark side.
Yeah.
You will never turn to the dark side, Les. You're one of us. There's no temptation. You're just making a joke. It'll never, ever happen.
One of the reasons why I really wanted Matt here, but again, he couldn't make it. He and I started a project. We've been working on it since the inception, mid-2014, was doing a photo podcast, and we did our first one last week. We launched it. So if you have any photo questions or comments or some topics you'd like to see or hear based in photography, info@milehighshow.com is the email, or milehighshow.com, and you can use the contact page. Also, like Sky was saying, there's a lot of musicians out here who are wondering where good spots to play, where they can get some stage time. If you are looking for stage time and got an interesting story or two to tell and you want to be a guest, shoot us a message. info@milehighshow.com as well. Sky, question for you. Like we had talked about, you know, there's Wes Williams Band, Cheek Tones,
yeah.
Five in the Wheel. There's bands that are pretty well established out here and up and down the row and outside. Who is somebody local that is that you feel is either putting out the quality and not getting the recognition? Who's the hidden gem out there? Band or just single musician? Who comes to your mind that you're just blown away more people don't know?
Well, I would have said Parker Smith if you would have asked me, you know, three or four months ago. But right now, he's getting the recognition that he deserves. I've always been a fan of his music. Look out for Jace Peavler. He does some of that red dirt country, some of the Texas alternative country.
Yeah, he's real good.
He's real good, and he's real people, and he's a good entertainer, and he's a good guy. So look out for him. Of course, PK Gregory. I don't know why he's not famous yet. He's just incredible musician.
He's working on it.
Yeah.
He's working on it. Going on tour this summer.
Nice.
Cool. I'd recommend to all your listeners to go find out where PK Gregory is playing.
How about you, Les?
You know, like, there's like, go see Salt of the Earth. I think Mike Lewis and Dallas and just those guys are just, they're real good. They put on a good show. It's good stuff. You'll like it. They've been around for forever and, like, really never have, you know, in my opinion, got the props.
Yeah.
Got the props that they deserve. As far as who's next, I don't know. That's the problem. I've been like actually out of state or working lately, so I really haven't been wandering about like I usually do.
No, it's just because there's like I'd mentioned some of the names that everybody knows about and everybody sees, but then every once in a while you walk into a place and stumble in and go, who is this?
I got one. Invincible Grins.
Who?
The Invincible Grins. They've been actually like, and you said someone new. I think that's why I didn't bring them up. The Invincible Grins are probably one of the most unique, different, and just plain fun acts. Okay, that we have here in Northern Arizona. They do this odd mixture of gypsy jazz and punk and performance art, and, you know, and their songs are quirky and interesting. I have like, I mean, and it's one of those things where you really either like it or you don't. And you know, and I recommend get like, you know, like they play a lot. They play the Spirit Room. They play around, but most of the time people will like just go Invincible Who. You know, that's another band that like that I managed to convince to come over here. And they, you know, they had some success, but they're, you know, they are. Still playing out, still playing around. They would like to go on tour, but one of the members actually has a job, you know, which is kind of...
That's a dirty, dirty word.
Yeah. Well, you know...
You have to bleep that out.
He has a job, but, like, they're amazing. They're amazing. Them, and then a... they're amazing, and then there's a sort of side project to that band called Desert Hot Club Tub, which
I know who you're talking about.
Really outstanding, you know, outstanding stuff. Different, you know, if you're tired of the same old stuff, you know, if you want something different, go see those two bands.
Good deal.
I thought of one too. I got to give props to Dylan Lugwig's band, Fallen Arrows. They're really, really good.
And I'm not familiar. I'll have to check that out.
It's alternative country. It's country. It's good songwriting. It's good country music. The way it was intended to be, not any of the newer stuff that's happening now. And it's really good music. And they're hard to find though. Look for them. The Fallen Arrows.
Is that Dylan from the that's Dylan from the Raven.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Yes, nice. That's his new group, The Fallen Arrows. Look them up.
Now flip it. Venue. What's a venue that doesn't get the recognition it should? That's either consistently supporting artists or making time available for folks to perform.
Well, I think you should check out Addictions. It used to be called the Black Hole Beer Company. It's called
That's
Addictions
a neat
now.
Little spot. I was is, telling yeah. Sandra and Anthony about that. I want to take them over and start throwing some cornhole.
Okay, good.
And horseshoes they got out there.
The Point always has good music. Yeah. It doesn't matter what
day
you go.
I love that place. It just looks neat inside.
And you're going to find the people that you were talking about. These really.
It's like walking into 1967
Connecticut. Retro. It's retro for sure. But you'll always find the good music, and you'll find what you were talking about, the underground people, the people that aren't.
Feels like you're underground.
It literally is underground, I think. So it's called The Point, and also, of course, The Raven, and Granite Mountain Brewery.
Those are some
really good venues. Always catch really good musicians there in those places.
You know, that's like there really hasn't been any new venues like over
not
here.
Not even new. Just
yeah, any new venues over here? Like Sky hit most of them here in Prescott. I think that that some place to go like really that's neat in Cottonwood is Bootleggers.
Yeah,
they have a eclectic. I mean, you can see country acts there. You can see you can see all kinds of different stuff there depending on who's available and who they've booked.
Yeah.
You know, it's a great little place. It's right in downtown Cottonwood. I like it there. You know, it's little. It's what's the word I'm looking for? Intimate, you know, you sit right there, like right up on them. It also has like a place where there's a bar that's kind of inside and outside.
Yeah,
there's that little stool place on there that inside and outside all at the same time. There's always Main Stage, you know. Main Stage has support local artists. They hang their art. They have art shows for like their first Friday stuff every month is a good thing. There's always the Chaparral. The Chaparral is like that's a place that's been there forever, and so so it's been there forever and still hanging in, man. You know, which is a tough thing. And then there's this place that really it's really kind of legendary. It's like there's a lot of people that started there. Cactus Cates.
Yeah,
I've never been
Cactus
there.
Cactus Cates. A lot of people like got their start in the like you know, playing music. Or the, you know, they still do because Kate will go. Okay, you got a band? Okay, you know, come and play. That place is. I think that place is just. I think it's almost taken for granted, you know, because it's you know because she's been there for so long, you know, because there is actually a Kate that runs Cactus Cates. So, you know, that place has been there for so long, and you know, you can't. cannot go wrong by checking out like the 1012 Club in Clarkdale,
right?
Which is
we need to do another trip out to the Verde, me and Les. We had a lot of fun that night.
I may have a week next. I may have a week this.
Just don't get sick, because last time we went out there, you you went into a coma for about a week and a half, 2 weeks after.
That's what riding in a car with Matt would do for you. I'm just saying.
another venue up in Chino Valley is the Granite Creek Vineyard. That's also a great place. You'll catch all these obscure.
Yeah, don't be afraid to run up the highway. Mm-hmm. 89, yeah, 8 like, miles. Like, you've got miles. Big Daddy's.
Oh,
you got
El Charro Norte. Like the picture you took is perfect. That play the view. I swear, it's one of the last places, in my humble opinion, over here that you can actually sit and see kind of like what Arizona looked like. When
beautiful
I got
area,
here.
And I'm glad to see them open again. That there's a restaurant in there again.
Sidekick Saloon in Prescott Valley. If you're into country music, there's nothing but country bands.
I had a good time watching Five in the Wheel there the other night. That was a lot of fun. Away from the music side, recently, and I want to plug also. We're going up to Flagstaff in the fall for the Bird. Not the Bird, the Big Pine Comedy Festival, September 22, 23, 24. I'll have a link there, so that'll be an excuse to get up into the Flagstaff area. But a couple months, about a month ago, I had the opportunity to cover the Bird City Comedy Festival. I saw some great comics, great improv, but two venues that I really enjoyed down in the Phoenix area, Lawn Gnome Publishing, a bookstore that does live events, comedy, and storytelling, kind of like the Moth style. They'll throw out a subject, they pull names out of a hat, and you go up and you tell a story. Fascinating little, funky little place, and Space 55. So a little outside of the area and outside of the music, but Space 55 and Lawn Gnome Publishing, just great little, funky little spots that have some top-notch comedy, storytelling, and improv. So I want to get down there more often, and then with the Big Pine, we'll be up in Flag come fall. So, anything else you guys want to hit?
I want to thank you for the lunch. It was great pizza right over here.
We got to leave before the check comes.
we'll never get this stuff packed in time.
thanks
All right,
for lunch.
So
it's beautiful.
Big Daddy's, thanks for sponsoring. Big Daddy is. He sponsored us.
Where a little bit of smoke is a good thing.
And, of course, check out Sky. We'll have links to his website, his Facebook, and Les as well. What else did I say? I forget. Oh, yeah. Listen to Mile High Show. If you got guest suggestions, anything else.
Button.
Oh, yeah. Amazon. I was going to do that in the intro that I've already recorded. All right, we're done.
You're not fooling anybody, Matt.